private investigator means two things. You can be sure you'll run into trouble, and you can never be sure you'll get out of it. Not much you can do about it, I guess, except, like Julie always says,
walk softly, Peter Troy.
And now Peter Troy investigates Contrary Mary.
As you may have gathered, because I've more or less said so many times, trouble is the business of a private investigator. You get to expect it, and you hope you can get out of it. Whether or not you take the advice of my secretary, Julie, and walk softly or not. But it always puzzled me that I never managed to get into as much trouble as some other people do, and mostly without even trying. Even hardened criminals with years of practice behind them don't seem to get into as much strife as a lot of amateurs do. There was, for instance, the case of George Blake, who, after 20 years as a bank guard, suddenly found himself arrested for complicity in a robbery, and consequently under the piercing attention of my old friend, Inspector Caswell.
All right, Blake, sit down now, will you?
What do you want me for now? I've told you all I know.
You haven't told us anything that makes sense. Now, you say you're innocent of having anything to do with the bank robbery.
That's right.
Yet you were seen to level your pistol at one of the robbers at point-blank range without firing.
I told you my gun jammed.
Blake, our armory examined that pistol of yours very closely. There's absolutely nothing the matter with it. It simply couldn't have jammed.
Did I tell you?
Why didn't you fire at that bank robber? Are you afraid you might kill him?
Well, I...
Was it the thought of actually killing another man that stopped you?
I've nothing more to say.
You needn't be ashamed, because you didn't want to shoot a man down, you know. No decent person likes to do that. You've never been in that situation before.
I was a bank guard, wasn't I? It was my job to shoot if necessary.
Exactly. So what stopped you? If it weren't the fear of killing a man, it must have been something else, huh?
I keep telling you my gun, Jack.
And I keep telling you you're lying. Now, I want the truth.
I've told you a dozen times.
All you've told me is a pack of lies. Now, I want the truth, Blake, and I mean to get it. I suggest you start getting used to that idea right now.
On the face of it, things looked bad for George Blake. As the inspector had said, he'd been seen to aim his pistol at one of the bank robbers at point-blank range. 5 yards, to be exact. And yet, he didn't fire. And to the police, this was a very suspicious circumstance. And you could hardly blame them for thinking Blake was somehow mixed up in the robbery himself. They had little else to go on, since the thieves had made a complete getaway with some thousands of pounds, and all the underworld contacts the good inspector had were making like clams about the whole thing. It was 2 days after the robbery that I had a visit from Blake's daughter, Mary, a rather plain, boyish-looking young doll. So plain, in fact, that for once Julie saw no reason for alarm when she showed her into my office.
Miss Blake, Mr. Troy.
Oh, how do you do, Miss Blake?
How do you do? Are you really Peter Troy?
At 11 o'clock in the morning, definitely. Sometimes at the end of the day, I'm not quite sure who I am.
Oh, well, you're not quite what I expected. You're much better looking than I thought a private investigator would be.
Mm-hmm. You must have been talking to Julie.
Miss Blake's here about her father, Mr. Troy. You know, the bank robbery.
Blake. Oh, yes, you're related to the guard who was arrested?
Yes. He's my father.
Oh, well, then, sit down, Miss Blake.
Thank you.
Shall I stay, Mr. Troy?
Have you got your notebook?
Of course.
Okay. Stick around and make some notes. For real.
Well, I don't understand.
Well, it's like this, Miss Blake. Sometimes I have clients who are, difficult. In such cases, I have Miss Summers here as a kind of bodyguard, you know?
Bodyguard? A woman?
Well, sometimes a woman can be a very good bodyguard. It just depends on whose body she's guarding.
I'll make the notes as you say, Mr. Troy.
That'll be fine. Now, Miss Blake, of course you hear about your father.
Yes. I'm sure he had nothing to do with that robbery, Mr. Troy.
The police aren't.
No. That's why I'm so worried.
As I understand it, he won't tell the police why he didn't shoot that robber when he had the chance.
Well, he said his gun jammed or something.
Well, unfortunately, the police say it didn't, and they ought to know about such things.
Then he must have had another reason for not shooting.
Well, that figures. Tell me, Miss Blake, what do you think that reason was?
I don't know. But I was thinking about it. And I wondered if perhaps he knew the bank robber.
Knew him? How would your father know a crook?
Wait a minute, Julie. Miss Blake, you mean he knew him by sight or he knew him as some kind of a friend?
I don't know. But suppose he knew him well enough to be shocked that this man would be involved in a holdup.
Yeah, and then the temporary shock might stop him from shooting long enough for the crook to escape. Yeah, I can see what you mean.
But Miss Blake, does your father know such people? I don't see how he...
Nor do I, Miss Summers, but that's what puzzles me. Oh, it's only an explanation I can think of apart from this gun jamming.
Yes, well, that's out. Miss Blake, do you live at home with your father?
Yes.
What about your mother?
Oh, she died 5 years ago.
Oh, I see. Any other family?
Only my brother.
How old is he?
Same age as me. We're twins.
Mm-hmm. Look, I don't usually ask young ladies their age, but...
Oh, that's all right. I'm 22.
And so is... what's your brother's name?
Jeffrey, with a J.
Jeffrey, with a J.
What does he do for a living?
He's a window dresser. He works at Malick's.
Oh, yeah, the department store. Well, Miss Blake, I guess what you want me to do is try to find out just why it was that your father didn't shoot that hold-up man, right?
That's it, exactly. If you can find out the reason for that, we might be able to prove his innocence. And I just know he's innocent, Mr. Troy. I just know it.
Well, if you think you can get any more sense out of him than we've been able to try, I'll arrange you to have a try at it.
Well, there's no harm in trying, Inspector.
Who are you working for? Can't be Blake himself.
His daughter hired me.
His daughter? Ah, yes, Mary Blake.
Well, have you met her?
Oh, yes, in a routine way. And the son, too.
Tell me, what's he like?
Oh, seems all right. He's a window dresser. Looks a bit soft and girlish, but he's no sissy.
And what's his attitude to his father?
Well, what's that got to do with it?
Well, I don't know.
Then why ask?
Well, you never know what you'll find out until you ask, Inspector.
Yeah. Well, he seems fond of his father. Loyal. Convinced the man is innocent and all that.
You know anything about his spare time activities?
Enough for them to seem innocuous. He's engaged to be married. Girl checks out okay. They spend a lot of time and money going to symphony concerts and so on.
Speaking of money, does he have any?
Well, all he wants, apparently. He's been saving to get married, so he's a bit put by.
Yeah, I see. And what about the sister?
Pretty straightforward story there. Except perhaps for the fact that she works in a nightclub.
A nightclub? Mary Blake?
Yeah. She's fond of music, too. Of a different kind, of course. She has ambitions to be a pop singer.
Well, how do you mean ambitions? She's not actually singing in a club.
Yes, she is, as a matter of fact. A place called the High Dive.
Well, is she any good?
My dear fellow, I don't know. I don't go rushing around to nightclubs listening to singers.
Oh, Inspector, you're missing out on a heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah. Look, Troy, what makes you so interested in this boy and girl?
Well, as you'd say, Inspector, it's just routine. I was thinking, though, Mary Blake must be able to sing, but she isn't exactly my idea of what a nightclub canary should look like.
Probably just as well. Or she'd be liable to arrest for disturbing the peace. Well, do you want to see this fellow, Blake?
Okay, Blake. The inspector's allowed me just 10 minutes with you, so let's not waste any time.
Mary went to see you, you say?
That's right. She hired me to prove your innocence, if that's possible.
It ought to be. I am innocent.
Yeah, well, you've sung that song to the police 20 times, but the tune's a little tired. Blake, if you're innocent, why didn't you shoot that robber?
I've got nothing more to say about that. They won't believe my gun jam, so why should I bother?
Of course they don't believe you. Now, if you're going to lie, Blake, you've got to make the lie at least vaguely credible.
I've nothing more to tell you.
Blake, your gun didn't jam. You deliberately held your fire. Now, there are only 2 reasons I can think of for that. One is that you were afraid to kill the guy.
All right, then, I was.
You mean you could hold your job for 20 years knowing that you wouldn't be able to shoot a man if you had to?
If you like.
I do not like. It doesn't make sense. There must have been many times when you thought about this possibility.
You must have made up your mind what you'd do if the bank was being robbed.
Thinking about it isn't the same as doing it.
Oh, I'll tell you something, Blake. I don't believe you were worried about that angle at all. You could gun down a bank robber if you had to. That is, provided the robber wasn't someone you knew.
Now you're talking like the police. They think that man was a mate of mine.
I think he was someone you knew, but not someone you expected to see robbing the bank.
You're off your head.
I believe you know this man as well as... as well as you know your own son.
What? I don't know what you're talking about. That's absolute nonsense.
Yeah? Well, we'll see, Blake. We'll see. Hi, honey.
Hello, Pete. Anything new?
Only in my head. My imagination is working overtime.
Imagination? What about all the facts that detectives are supposed to stick to, huh?
Oh, yeah, well, that comes next. Facts are what we have to get.
Do you believe Mary Blake's theory that her father was not involved in the robbery, but that he actually knew the man he refused to shoot?
Julie, I don't believe anything yet, but I'm working on it.
Anything for me to do?
Yeah. I want you to go and see this Jeffrey Blake.
Mary's brother? What about?
Nothing in particular. Just talk to him.
Well, what do you want me to find out?
Everything you can.
But how can I get anything useful out of him if I don't know what you're looking for?
Yeah, well, if I told you what I'm looking for, you might not come up with it.
What? Oh, really, Pete, are you feeling all right?
No, but don't let that bother you. Look, just go and see young Blake.
Shall I say you sent me?
If you like. Makes no difference. Caswell says he's loyal to his father, so he won't gripe about being questioned by us.
All right, if you say so. What are you going to do?
Me? Oh, I'm going to a nightclub called the High Dive.
A nightclub? At 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
Well, you wouldn't let me go out alone at night, honey.
What are you after at this High Dive place?
I'm just curious to know how a very ordinary-looking little sparrow gets a job as a canary. And why? It was not without a certain amount of fuss and bother that I managed to get Julie to go and interview young Jeffrey Blake. For being a woman, she first of all agreed to go, and then started off with the questions again. And these questions I didn't want to answer, because I was playing a hunch. And if I'd let Julie in on it, it might not have given me the result I wanted. Anyway, I finally shooed Julie on away and went to make a call at the High Dive nightclub. On the way, I dropped in on Inspector Caswell again.
Well, what now, Troy? You surely don't want to talk to Blake again. I can't let you make a welter of this, you know.
No, nothing like that, Inspector. Only you weren't around when I left before, and I thought I'd just check in with you.
What for? You didn't get anything out of Blake, did you?
Only a reaction.
Reaction?
To a suggestion I made to him.
Which was?
That he knew the man he refused to shoot, as well as he knew his own son.
What?
Yeah.
Well, what did he say?
Well, what you'd expect, that I was crazy. But it was the way he said it.
Yeah?
That got to him, that suggestion, Inspector. So much so that...
You think the man may actually have been Blake's son, eh?
Something like that, yeah.
That's a pretty unlikely theory, Troy. I wouldn't take that boy for a bank robber.
Well, give me time, and I might even come up with a more unlikely theory.
And what you're saying is that Jeffrey Blake got himself involved with a gang of bank robbers, was with them when they pulled the job, and was recognized by his father.
No, it's just an idea.
And because Blake recognized the boy, he couldn't shoot at him. He couldn't gun down his own son. As I say, it's pretty unlikely. Although it would certainly provide a motive for his present silence, as well as his refusal to shoot.
Well, that's what I mean.
And of course, the robbers would know that the boy's father worked at the bank, and he'd be a good channel through which they could get the layout of the bank and the internal routine.
Inspector, you should have been a detective.
Thank you. But unfortunately, I don't think that's what the superintendent will say if I go to him with this story.
No?
No. He'll say that any suggestion that a hard-working, soon-to-be-married lad like Jeffrey Blake would be in a deal like this robbery is arrant nonsense.
Yeah, what kind of nonsense?
Arrant.
That sounds like a good word. I must try and work it in someplace.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm sorry, Troy. I can't go along with this theory of yours.
Not even a little way?
Now, what are you getting at? Have you, you got something up your sleeve?
Well, it could be. A little trick I'm thinking of trying out. But I'd need an assistant, Inspector, and you're just the man for the job.
All right. What is it?
I'll let you know later. Right now, I'm on my way to see a man about a canary. Hey, you.
Yes?
Is the boss around?
Yeah, at his office. Over there.
Thanks.
It's not locked.
I'm sorry to disturb you, friend, but... Well, well, well. If it isn't Ziggy Herman.
Troy, what do you want?
I just dropped in for a little chat. I had no idea you were getting respectable and running clubs now.
Okay, you've had your little chat. Close the door as you go out, Troy. There's a draft.
Well, that's easily fixed.
You never could take a hint, could you, Troy? I see you still like to learn the hard way, eh?
That's me all over, just thirsting for knowledge.
Yeah? Well, cop this.
Sorry, I already learned that one. No! Oh. You look very silly on the floor, Ziggy. Get up and answer some questions.
Go bag your head.
Now, you listen to me, you creep. I'm not feeling very happy today, and frankly, I'd just as soon spend the rest of it beating your ugly face inside out. And the only way you can stop me is to talk. Now, which is it to be?
Okay. Okay, let me go, will you? What do you want to know?
You got a doll singing at the club.
So?
Her name's Mary Blake.
I know that. So what's the question? You want a date with her?
Don't try to be funny. It doesn't suit you. Just tell me, how come you give a very ordinary-looking doll like her a glamour job?
She may not be much of a looker, but she can sing.
You never had any dolls working here before who looked anything but the best. So what's the setup? Is she your girlfriend?
Are you bonkers? I wouldn't be seen dead with her.
So how did she get the job?
A friend. Friend recommended her.
What friend?
Now, look here, Troy. I'm no copper's narc, you know that.
And I'm not a copper, you know that. So give. Now, who is this friend who recommended Mary?
You won't let on, I told you, will you? You could have heard it somewhere else, eh?
Yeah, I could have heard it almost any place. But so far, I haven't heard it at all. Now, come on, Ziggy, come on.
It was Harry Lawford.
What? Lawford? That hood?
That's right. He came to me and asked me to give the girl a singing job. I didn't like the look of her, but she auditioned all right. And it's not easy to say now to Harry. He's liable to get rough, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, you won't say nothing to Harry, will you, Troy? He told me not to let on to the girl knew him. I don't think her family would approve, like.
You know something, Ziggy? I don't think they'd approve either. I don't think they'd approve at all. Hi, Julie. You back already?
Well, you didn't expect me to take 3 hours talking to that boy, did you?
Well, no.
It was all a waste of time, I think. All he told me was what you found out from Inspector Caswell.
Yeah?
But, Pete, the most remarkable thing...
And what is it?
That Jeffrey Blake is the living image of his sister.
Is that so?
Absolutely. With long hair and makeup, you couldn't tell them apart.
Well, she said they're twins. It figures.
Yes. And of course, she is rather boyish looking.
I'd already noticed. Well, thanks, Julie. That's all I wanted to know.
I haven't told you anything.
Oh, yes, you have. I figured those two kids would look alike. I just wanted to make sure.
Then why didn't you tell me?
Because if I'd suggested it to you, you'd have gone to see Jeffrey with a preconceived idea in your little old noggin. I wanted to see if it had hit you without any prompting.
What difference does it make?
The same difference it made with their father, George Blake.
I don't follow you, Pete. What on earth...
I'll tell you on the way to police headquarters. Inspector Caswell and I are going to have another crack at breaking down Blake's story. Now, come on, Julie, let's go.
I don't see where all this is going to get us, Troy.
Well, look, just humor me, Inspector.
That's exactly what I am doing. As far as police work is concerned, this is most unorthodox.
I wish somebody would tell me what's going on. Why did you want to call on Jeffrey Blake again on the way here, Pete?
What do you mean again? I hadn't seen him before.
No, but I saw him for you.
Oh, yeah, well, there was something I didn't get you to check on.
Oh? What was that?
Well, there's no time to go into that now. You'll get the message soon, Julie. Is Blake outside, Inspector?
Yes, I'll have him shown in. Oh, Sergeant, send Blake in now, will you? Good. All I can say is, Troy, if this doesn't work, we're all going to look very silly.
Well, in that case, I promise not to look at you if you promise not to look at me, Inspector.
Oh, come on in, Blake. I have some questions to ask you.
What again? I've been over it all. Must be 50 times by now.
Yes, well, then we'll make it 51, shall we? You know, Mr. Troy, this is his secretary, Miss Summers.
Hello, Mr. Blake.
Hello, Miss. What is all this, Inspector?
Sit down, Blake. Won't take long. Mr. Troy has something to put to you.
Oh, what is it?
Just this, Blake. I finally worked out why you didn't shoot at that hold-up man.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, because you recognized that person, didn't you?
Look, I've told
you. You looked at that man and you saw your own son, didn't you?
Who told you that?
Just a minute. Caswell. Oh, is she? Yes, send her right in, Sergeant. Oh, Blake, your daughter's here to see you.
Mary. Well, that's wonderful. I would like to talk to her.
Well, here she is.
Mary. Hello, my dear. It's good to see you. How is everything? How's Jeff? What's the matter? Why don't you say something, Mary?
Because I'm not Mary, Dad. I'm Jeffrey.
What? But those clothes, you look just like your sister.
They're twins, Blake. Dressed as a woman, you could easily take Jeffrey for his sister. In fact, if you saw Mary dressed as a man, you'd undoubtedly think she was Jeffrey.
You mean it was Mary dressed as Jeff, that bank robber that I... What have I said? No, I didn't mean that, Inspector. You mustn't take any notice.
I'm sorry, Blake. You've told us all we wanted to know. I'm afraid we'll have to arrest your daughter.
And don't forget her boyfriend, Harry Lawford. I'd take a rough guess that he was behind the whole thing.
Harry who? I don't know any Harry. Her boyfriend, did you say? Look, Mary's a good girl. She wouldn't have a boyfriend I didn't know about.
I'm sorry, Mr. Blake. I'm afraid it had to be this way in the end. Well, it's all yours, Inspector.
Well, thanks for your help, Troy.
Come on, Julie, let's go.
What's going on here? Will somebody please explain to me?
That poor old guy isn't going to like the end of this case one little bit.
Sometimes I think there's hope for you yet, Pete. At the moment, you're almost human. I might even spare you the last bit.
The last bit?
Yes. The walk softly, Peter Troy.
It made it easy having Jeffrey Blake's cooperation and persuading him to dress up as his sister. It tricked his old man into coming out with the admission that he had seen someone he thought was Jeff. Someone he couldn't bring himself to shoot at. The girl, Mary, was a pretty bad case, and the law wasn't easy on her. Or her boyfriend, Lawford, and his hoods who pulled the robbery. Of course, when her father had seen her in the bank holdup and called out her brother's name, she'd dreamed up her idea of pinning the crime on Jeff. As I said before, the trouble some people get into without even trying makes you wonder.
Walk Softly, Peter Troy is an Artranza production written by Cressick Jenkinson and directed by Russ Reiter.